Yes, welcome to the NBA panel. Today I'm joined by The Athletic senior NBA writer Sam Amick. Sam, what's going on?
John, what's going on, sir? Appreciate you having me. Glad to be here.
Yes, sir. It's just a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Man, training camp's open next week. I'm ready for it, Sam.
I tell you, John, I can't complain, though. It's funny, you know, with the way the last couple of years have gone,
yes,
with the pandemic and the change in the schedule, I'm ready to roll because, you know, while the time away was nice, it was strange to finally have, you know, the traditional break from, you got the finals in June, free agency in July, and then,
yeah,
you know, it's a long ways from there until you and I talking here in mid-September.
Yes, this is our first regular off season in a while, man. It's good to go through the whole process. Definitely. We all remember Mark Cuban back in the chair when COVID broke. Take us from there back to now, in your opinion, how the NBA has done a phenomenal job keeping the fans involved and keeping the game going as it only goes 100%.
Yeah, no, I mean, they certainly weathered the storm. And I mean, even for me personally, you know, I covered half of the bubble, myself and my colleague, Joe Varden. You know, we split up the time. I did the second half, and that's, you know, one of those sports writing experiences that that certainly I'm never going to forget.
Right.
And for them, you know, for them to hit that finish line, the Lakers to win the title, it's wild because it feels like it was 5 years ago. It obviously wasn't. I think, you know, Lakers fans probably agree. It feels like even longer since then.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, here we are, and we're getting back to normal 82-game schedule and all the regular stuff that we enjoy about the league.
Definitely. And you've done some phenomenal work over your career and still are doing it. Take us back to your time at USA Today, Sports Illustrated, AOL, FanHouse. You're a very experienced writer.
No, I appreciate it. I've been lucky and blessed and enjoyed the heck out of the ride. So I owe a lot to the first job I had, which is the Sacramento Bee newspaper. I had gone to college at Sacramento State and actually was kind of a part-timer when I was a junior in college, you know, answering phones and trying to learn about not only the industry, but the part that I think has been kind of neat about my story is how I caught the tail end of the newspaper industry when it was still, you know, worth being a part of, you know, before the economics just really made it really, really challenging for everybody. You know, I got a little bit of, not necessarily the golden age, but some of the good times. Worked at the Bee from essentially, you know, from part-time to the full-time, 98 to 2010.
Right.
Covering the Kings for 5 years. That was kind of the pathway to the NBA. But, yeah, a lot of good stops from there. AOL Fan House, which it's crazy. You talk about time flying. I feel like people over the course of time kind of forget that it even existed. But it was a good group of writers, you know, where America Online – you know, in the post dial-up internet age, essentially had, you know, kind of some leftover money where they were trying to compete in the sports media space. And so myself and Chris Thomason and Tim Povtak and Matt Moore and Tom Ziller, a bunch of people who you still read, you know, covering the NBA at Fan House, that was kind of the first chance to not just cover one team, you know, with my Kings experience, but to cover the entire NBA and try to stretch your legs a little bit. You know, from there, it was Sports Illustrated, you know, great time for almost 2 years. And then, you know, USA Today was really good to me for about 6 years. It's been a good run for sure.
Yeah, you pick your stops to have you well-rounded. And we all know that's what we needed today, have you well-rounded in everything you do.
Yeah, no, it helps. Well, and it's also like, and this is stuff that I think is – analogous to any industry is, and really kind of like analogous to even basketball and sports is like, you're only as good as your support system. And in some instances, you know, you remember the times when you had really good editors and really good infrastructure.
Yeah.
And then you remember the times when it wasn't as good and you feel like you had a harder time, you know, doing your best work. And in that regard, I mean, I'm going to sound like a company man, but you know, The Athletic's been amazing. So, you know, it's the best job I've had and just have a lot of fun with them kind of, you know, helping us do what we do best.
Yeah, it's like you're on a great home at the Athletic. Definitely sound. It seems, it shows on your work. It shows. If you love what
I
you do, it's our work.
Yep, I appreciate it for sure. No, it's fun. I mean, the idea, it's not obviously, they didn't revolutionize sports writing by any means, but like leaning into the idea that you got this vast community of hardcore sports fans that want to be served, you know, beyond the surface level.
Right.
And that they'd be, you know, and that they'd be willing to pay a little bit to get that, you know, as opposed to as great as my experience was at USA Today, you know, the advertising model, not just there, but anywhere, I just found to be really challenging because you end up focusing on, you know, or at least being compelled to focus on the type of coverage that might not be, you know, what you want to do. And really you're trying to, I mean, you get threatened by the clickbait culture, if you will. And it's just not a great ecosystem. I think this setup where it's pretty straightforward, like, all right, you want to know, you know, all the ins and outs of the NBA and what's going on, we're gonna try to check that box for you.
Definitely. Yes, I love the NBA. I've been a fan of the NBA since I was younger, watched Michael Jordan in game winners. I mean, Magic Johnson.
Right.
what do you enjoy most about your career? I mean, you have the best seat in the house every night, right?
Yeah, I mean, that part's fun. That part I miss. It's funny because, you know, I mean, I've got a family, a wife, and two sons and everything.
Right.
So the time away has been nice, but I mean, to your point, you know, I'm ready to get back in the gym again and you know, actually enjoying not only the game but the crowds and the excitement that, you know, becomes a regular part of your routine. So that part is always been a highlight. I mean, you certainly remember not only being at big games, but, you know, some of the arenas have better media seating than others. You know,
Yes, they do.
Like one, you know, just kind of sparking memory lane here a little bit, you know, one that comes to mind is, you know, like when you're in Oklahoma City, you know, watching Klay Thompson go crazy to beat the Thunder, you know, in the West Finals, you know, that's the kind of thing you don't forget. And specifically in OKC, because you sit on the floor. I mean, you are 50-yard line, so to speak, you know, and you can sit there and darn near talk to the guys as they check in the game. So that's a highlight. In terms of the work, I've always enjoyed, and this is honestly, you know, why I think I, at different times I was able to do okay covering all kinds of sports, is just the personal dynamics that are such a big part of it. You know, not only reporting on, you know, who's playing well, who's not, and who's getting traded, who's not, but, you know, what are the relationships between, you know, this coach and this player, or this GM and this coach.
Right.
And, you know, partly politics, partly, you know, just life stuff, trying to bring the readers into all these different worlds and help them understand. I mean, you know how it is when you're a big-time fan of a certain team, you don't like feeling like you're in the dark. You want to understand, you know, just like to use the Lakers for an example. We wrote about them last week, and I've always enjoyed, you know, trying to help Lakers fans understand. You know, you don't have to like what's happening with your team, but you deserve to understand what is happening. You know?
Right.
So that kind of stuff, in terms of the writing and the reporting, I've always enjoyed quite a bit.
Your journey through media, you know, a lot of media personnel don't like asking tough questions. How long did it take you to get comfortable enough to get to that level? Because you interviewed Adam Silver, amongst others, and asked tough questions all the time. When did you get comfortable enough to start doing that, or is it like a natural transition for you?
I think part of it is, like, there's a definite correlation between, you know, all right, where is your confidence level in terms of your career and your position, you know, and your willingness and ability to ask those questions. Because, for one, if you come in and you're just super green and you come out real strong saying, I'm going to be the guy that asks all the tough questions. Well, the tricky part is, at least in the NBA space, you know, a lot of folks aren't going to be all that interested in you being the one to ask the question, if that makes sense.
Gotcha. I understand.
Because you're not necessarily established and
right.
It might be, you know, making it look like it's just about you as opposed to really trying to get to the bottom of whatever the story is. But for me, and this is just a, personality trait. And it extends beyond work, but like, I'm one of those people that always, unfortunately, has got to learn the hard way a little bit. So, like, my process was, you know, and I can't think of any specific examples, but, you know, you go to a press conference or you talk to a certain person for an interview.
Right.
And on the back end, you know, when you look at the story you wrote and whatever your work was, if you have regrets about, man, I just didn't have it in me to ask that one hard question,
right,
and I didn't do it, then that feeling of disappointment or, you know, just that you're not as happy with the product or the work as you wish you would have been, you don't want to feel that feeling again, and you certainly don't want to feel it routinely, you know what I mean? So
right.
Then, I mean, for me, that then inspires, all right, next time I'm in that situation, I now care more about feeling good about, you know, how this interview went, how this story went, than I do about whatever anxiousness I might have had to ask the tough question or whatever other concerns I had. You know, now all of a sudden your kind of desire to have the work be what you want it to be overrides all that other stuff, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Yes, we all know every media availability is unique amongst itself, whether it be from team injuries, a coaching change, or just drama around the team itself. And as a media person, you have to be able to adjust and read the room all the time, because you can't ask a question and get a blow and take the wrong way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you know, last week, for example, and I wasn't there, but you know, Adam Silver has his board of governors meeting.
Yes,
in
yes.
New York. And you know, the reporting community is a fairly tight knit group where we all
right.
know each other. And I found myself after that press conference, you know, Adam was asked a lot of tough questions about
yeah.
Robert Sarver, the Phoenix Suns owner, who obviously,
yeah.
You know, is kind of capturing the headlines for all the wrong reasons right now.
Right.
And I texted a few reporters who were in the room to just say, hey, you guys did a great job. Because
right.
as a reporter, you, especially a moment like that where it's bigger than basketball and,
yeah.
and there's really no other venue where Adam is going to have to face tough questions,
right.
you know, it's then up to those reporters. You know, Howard Beck did a great job, Tony Gangula from you know, our sister paper, the New York Times. You know, a lot of people like looking up in the Athletic did a really nice job asking the hard questions, and it was important. And that is when, in terms of just being a reporter, you feel good about the work that was done.
Definitely. Yes, the Phoenix Suns situation isn't going away anytime soon. I think that may have an effect on future. You may feel the same way I do. You may not. I think we'll have a big hit on future situations with the team as far as players wanting to come there or continuing to play for the previous owner if he's still allowed to come back. Because we don't even PayPal is stepping off if they say he's back as the owner. So they have a situation that has to go away in Phoenix.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I'm just really curious to see how it evolves because, you know, I wrote a column when the ruling first came out
right.
to share in my opinion that it wasn't nearly enough. But admittedly, since then, you know, now, you know, the thing I'm watching, like a lot of people, is, all right, how much of this potentially was, you know, Adam Silver playing chess versus checkers? And,
right.
you know,
right.
meaning that, all right, the ruling wasn't all that hard. But, you know, it's a pretty notable choice to publicize all of the details in the report. And, you know, and really kind of a stark difference between, you know, the way the NFL has handled its business with Dan Snyder
right.
and things like that. And so the point being that, you know, the NBA and Adam Silver's choice to air all of Robert Sarver's dirty laundry publicly, I do get the sense that it's like they knew that once this gets shared in the public space, it
right.
was probably only a matter of time before he feels enough pressure to maybe eventually sell. So we'll see if that happens.
Right.
You're talking about a reputational damage that's going to be pretty tough to come back from for him.
Definitely. Other news, making headlines for me, talking about lowering the draft eligibility from 19 to 18 in the NBA. We talked about that before, but I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon anyway because, you know, teams have previous agreements in the future, so they can't change it right away anyway. But they, that might help certain players, but everyone is not a one and done. So we'll see how that works out too.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I'm curious to see in those talks between the union and the league, you know, our Shams Charania had reported yesterday that it was definitely expected to pass. You know, nothing's official yet, though. So, first of all, we'll see if it does end up getting agreed upon. You know, they're working their way through CBA talks through December.
Right.
And I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I think I'm probably good with it because you see so many young guys these days, not so many, but enough young guys at the high school level that, you know, with the G League system being what it is now,
right,
and with more of an infrastructure so that they don't, you know, fall through the crack. Because what you don't want is for the NBA experience for a preps to the pros guy to just be all or nothing. I mean, there had to be this infrastructure where if you say you take a guy in the lottery coming out of high school and he just doesn't find a way to produce and develop quickly enough,
right,
that he then just becomes a bust who's out the league. You know, like, no. There's other mechanisms in place now where you can have some patience with these guys. But yeah, that'll be interesting to see for sure.
Well, we did some major covers of the Golden State Warriors during their championship runs. He won it again this past season. Steph looked amazing. Amazing as always.
Yep.
What do you like their chances repeating? Even though once you're on top, everybody coming at you hard.
Yeah. I mean, I like their chance. There's just so many contenders this year, and it's great
for
the game.
Everybody coming back healthy, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild. So, you know, I know this is kind of a cop-out, but if I was a betting man, which I'm not, like, you know, if you're telling me the Warriors or the field, like, I'm probably taking the field. But if you ask me if I'd be stunned if they won it again, no, I wouldn't be stunned. Losing Gary Payton II, I thought, was unfortunate.
Right.
To a lesser degree, but also unfortunate is Otto Porter. You know, Bielita had some good minutes for them, and he was out as well. So some of the role guys, you know, Payton in particular, you know, that one's tough. But, you know, you're talking about a group that in terms of chemistry and cohesion and championship experience and all that, you know, they are, and they're still on the back end of their prime, you know, and Draymond comes to mind because the one guy you would wonder about age-wise and style-wise if maybe he was going to fall off a bit would be Draymond, but it's like, man, he's got a lot to play for. He can opt out of his deal next summer. You know, he's hoping to get an extension with the Warriors, you know, in the next couple of months. And so, you know, that kind of incentive typically compels guys to play well. And Steph, and, you know, Clay's going to be even better this year, you would think.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, his long journey back. So they'll be a lot of fun. But it's just crazy, John. Like, I don't know what the number is in terms of contenders, but it feels like it's a third of the league. You know what I mean? That you got a lot of teams that you wouldn't be shocked if they won the whole thing.
Yeah. Milwaukee coming off the championship a couple of years ago. I mean, the Sixers have made moves. I mean, Harden looks like he's doing the work. He's been putting in work over the summer. So that translates to the floor. Yes, Boston. The Nets coming back stronger. I mean, I hope Ben Simmons plays and plays with a clear head because if he's on the floor, that changes the whole defensive dynamic of the Nets because we only have Kyrie and KD going the offense. I mean, Patty Mills is still there. I mean, they're going to be a whole problem if they put together and everyone plays healthy.
They will. I'm only laughing because, like, it's just, you know, it's the ultimate on-paper team, right?
Yes, yes.
You know,
yes.
Like, we got a column up on our website today from Joe Varden, and I haven't read it yet, but I was about to.
Right.
And he tweeted something that made me laugh because it was, like, basically right about the time you thought the Nets were just going to coalesce and get their stuff together. You know, Kyrie is out here retweeting, you know, conspiracy theorist Alex Jones and doing some of his Kyrie stuff. And then it's like, oh, by the way, did we forget that Kevin Durant wanted Steve Nash and Sean Marks gone, but now they're going to be sharing the same building again?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like an if with the capital I, capital F, bold, underline, you know, if they can – get their stuff together, they'll be good. But, yeah, it'll be fun. I mean, the Clippers come to mind, man. Everybody's sleeping on the Clippers. They're going to be good again.
Yeah.
They'll be really good. So it should be a fun season.
Yes, and if you told Jazz to take a step back because they got younger because of their trade, that's going to move up another playoff spot for another team to come up. So we'll see what that may be. It's going to be interesting, very interesting. Can't wait to see.
Minnesota, you know,
yes.
The two big fellas now, you know, that's going to be.
Yes, Gobert, yes.
I certainly don't see them as a title contender, but I see them as a really good team, and I think it's going to work in the regular season. So I'm excited, man. It's always good. You know, we talk a little bit big picture about the career and the industry and stuff. Like, it's always a good sign in my shoes. Like, if I'm going into the season – And I'm not all that interested in the storylines. Like, that's a problem.
Definitely.
But that's not the case at all.
Yes, they have games returning in a couple of weeks. Warriors and Wizards going to Japan for us. Get us ready for the preseason. Can't wait.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to head down to L.A. on Sunday, actually, to go check out Lakers camp and maybe pop in on the Clippers. But, I mean, you got the Russell Westbrook stuff with Patrick Beverly and Dennis Schroeder. I was going to say real quick, you always have the two layers of teams as far as what we do for a living, where it's like the basketball teams that you're covering closely because of how good they are. But then the Lakers have like a category of their own, which is like, we'll see how good they are. But we're going to be watching because of all the drama they got going on.
Yes, how about LeBron still being the main player for the Lakers? We all know D-1 got AD for to take over the reins, but LeBron is carrying the torch. They don't want to let it go. Like he's,
I know. He's I mean, it's not his fault, though. It's AD just can't stay healthy.
Right.
And that's to me, that's another massive storyline this season is can Anthony Davis – become Anthony Davis again, you know, I mean, it's early and we'll see what happens, but to me, if he can't, and let's say they struggle, you know, he's got 2 years left on his contract. I wouldn't be stunned if this is a, you know, wildly disappointing season, and he doesn't play well, then I think the question arises of, you know, what is Anthony Davis's future with the Lakers? So that one for sure. Cause LeBron, the one thing, you know, we should take a quick second to, as we set up the season a little bit here, John, but like, you know, make sure people don't forget how incredibly rare it is for somebody at LeBron's age to be doing what he's doing. I mean, it's never happened.
Yeah,
it really, you know, Kareem was getting buckets at 40 plus. And so that comes to mind, but LeBron playing this athletic brand of basketball and, you know, for big portions of the game, running the team as, you know, as a one, and then if you need him to slide down to the four and the five, he's still doing that. So, you know, LeBron and, you know, what version of him are we going to get this year is something else I'm watching for sure.
Yeah, you know, LeBron, he's always played downhill. He was a little sample of that also last year. I mean, he's still unstoppable in the post, and records are meant to be broken. I mean, we saw Steph this past with Allen in the 75th season. Now LeBron is on pace to pass Kareem in the 76th season, so that's going to be crazy. Do you think LeBron? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just think it'll be fun to watch. It's a pretty incredible, you know, assuming he's able to get there.
Yeah.
Pretty incredible moment. I remember years ago, maybe 3-4 years ago, doing the math on LeBron and the question of whether or not he could catch Kareem, and it not that long ago, it felt impossible. And he just kept scoring at a pace and now he's on the doorstep of it. So it's pretty wild.
Yeah, LeBron came into the league going over some of the criticisms out of the roof expectations. And he's been criticized his whole career for taking the best basketball play because people say, you say you're King James, you used to take the last shot. But essentially, he always made the right basketball move, IQ move, all his career. And now he, not known as a scorer, he's about to be all-time NBA scorer, which is crazy.
It is crazy. I mean, that's like, I don't know what a good parallel is, but it must be nice to be so good at what you do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like me, you know, saying, well, I'm a writer, but occasionally I go on TV and then going out and winning Emmys. You know what I mean? Like, it's supposed to be your side hustle, you know, scoring. and go out and become the all-time leading scorer. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, he put $1 million on his body every year in his shoes. He's a billionaire.
Yeah.
He's a billionaire, and he approached the game the right way his whole career.
Yep. No, he's been a joy to cover, for sure. I mean, it's funny because I think back to when he began, you know, and I've never covered him on a daily basis, but, you know, during the playoffs, you end up being around him a lot. And then in the bubble, was certainly around him a lot. And, you know, he's always been super professional and a joy to cover. But it's like I was there. I was actually at the game in Sacramento when he made his debut. And remember the hype and pomp and circumstance of that game. And I remember even thinking, it's funny, an old friend of mine, the late, great Marty McNeil, used to cover the Kings for the Sacramento Bee. And Marty was one of those guys that always had a great ability to connect with players. And so I remember one time LeBron's in the visiting locker room in Sacramento, and Marty goes up during LeBron's rookie year to introduce himself and say hello. And again, you know, the thing about Marty was, like, players loved him. He connected with all of them. And he goes up to LeBron and says, hey, what's up, man? Want to say hello? And, you know, you got a second. And LeBron was just like, no, man, I already did my media. Like, he was kind of boozy with it, if that makes sense. Like, I'll never forget that, because it was like you saw young LeBron having to kind of figure out how to carry himself, because that little moment kind of he showed a little bit of his youth and showed a little bit of his, like, well, I'm the guy that was on, you know, SI cover as the chosen one. So to go from that dude to this grown-ass man who has got an incredible family, an incredible career, you know, he's been something else to see mature that way.
Yeah, well, his mom's longevity is crazy, man. Like,
oh, yeah, no doubt.
We have a few players that have been able to stay healthy as him, and we all know certain players got hurt in the past that deterred their careers. So,
right.
Continued help with LeBron, definitely. Can't wait for this season to start, man. Can't wait.
I agree, John. We're almost there, man. Just around the corner.
Sam, thank you so much for your time, man. I enjoyed it. Thank you for your time. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me, brother. You have a great day. We'll be in touch.
You too. Yes, you too.
Be good.
Yes, that was Athletic Senior NBA writer Sam Amick. Thanks for joining me. Catch you next time.